Lottie. I go back to my room after dinner and try to rest, falling across the bed and closing my eyes. In some ways, it's enough just being back at Grafton, knowing that my mother had been here, walking through the halls following in her invisible footsteps. Memories, small ones, have already begun to reveal themselves to me. I sink down into the pillow and pull the edge of the comforter over myself. My eyelids grow heavy. I start to slip away towards sleep when a memory comes to me, jolting my brain back to consciousness. It was Christmas Day of the year I turned 10. The first thing I remember is my mother's hands on me, gently nudging me awake. The sun had barely risen as we slipped our coats and gloves on.
"Where are we going?" I asked her as she wound a scarf around my neck.
"You'll see," she'd said, excitement shining in her eyes. We crept down the stairs and tiptoed through the house to the foyer. Below us, one of the Graftons' famous Christmas trees was lit up with large glass bulbs. They cast a magical glow through the layer of silvery tinsel on the tree, reflecting smudges of color onto the flagstone floor. My mother pulled open the main door, letting in a gust of cold air swirling with snowflakes. I gasped when I saw the world outside, white like the inside of a snow globe. Mom smiled at me like she was also a child. We went down the front steps, and I stopped to brush some snow off the faces of the lions so that they could see it too. Outside was a pristine white wonderland. Our feet made the first impressions in the snow, as if the world was freshly made and ours alone. We crossed the lawn slowly, sinking to the top of our boots until we reached the side of the house.
"In here."
She led me through the archway into the gardens. The air smelled of snow, crisp and clean. My mother scooped up a handful of snow in her glove, pinching it between her fingers.
"As I thought."
She held it out, showing me.
"See how it sticks? It's the perfect snow."
"For what?"
"Whatever you want," Mom laughed, scooping more together and packing it between her palms.
"A giant bear," I said.
"Good idea."
Mom began to roll the snow into large balls and stack them by her side. I followed suit until we had an arsenal to work with. Together, we stacked them into the body of the bear and filling in the cracks. Then, we brushed it with snow until it was smooth and added two arms curving around the sides of his body. Next, we carved out the bear's muzzle, making dents for eyes and nostrils.
"I have something that will help bring him to life," Mom said, opening her bag and unwrapping a parcel of food coloring and tubes for piping frosting.
We mixed the colors with handfuls of snow and piped them on, working happily until the bear had bright, multicolored streaks of fur, a rosy pink nose, bright blue eyes, and yellow claws. We stood back and admired our bear, technicolor against the canvas of snow. The sun had risen fully now. It caught on the flurries that danced through the air and made the world sparkle. Later that afternoon, I'd help my mother make the desserts for the evening's festivities. The Graftons held a locally famous Christmas drinks party. We rolled out dough, pressing it with cookie cutters.
"Look at my candy cane tree," I said, pressing two of the cutouts together and holding them up.
"Oh, yeah?" Mom said, quickly rearranging dough on the table.
"Is it as good as my reindeer with a Santa hat?"
I was laughing so hard that I almost didn't notice Betsy Grafton watching us from the doorway. My mother stopped smiling right away when she saw her standing there, dropping the dough on the counter.
"Betsy, what can I do for you?"
she asked. She wiped her hands on a towel and went toward the door. Betsy gazed at us, looking over the scene of cookies being rolled out and cooling on wire racks, and for a moment, a look of pure longing passed over her eyes, but it was quickly replaced with a haughty expression.
"Nothing. I was just checking to make sure you were working," she said, narrowing her eyes at us. "Good thing I did, because I can see that you're behind." She turned and left in a huff. My mother looked back at me.
Just ignore her, she said,
but the levity was gone from her voice. After Christmas, I was brought to the East Wing for one of our playdates. The floor of Betsy's room was littered with expensive new toys and clothes. Unwrapped presents were tossed around carelessly, shiny dresses draped on the corners of a chair, patent shoes with ribbons for laces thrown to opposite sides of the floor, and toys, more toys than I'd ever seen. My fingers itched to play with them. On my own, I spent hours imagining what it would be like to even have a fraction of what Betsy did.
In my room, you must follow my rules, she'd reminded me as soon as my mother had stepped away. First, go find me a comb. I need to fix my hair.
I stepped over a beautiful glass doll, which was missing a chunk of its own hair, as though it had been hacked away with scissors. A piece of its porcelain foot had cracked off as well, a jagged hole revealing its hollow center. I thought of my own tiny box of possessions. If I ever had a doll like that, I would take such good care of it, I'd thought bitterly. I spent the next several hours hovering near Betsy, doing what she instructed me to do. It was how all our playdates went. I was the obedient and quiet servant, and Betsy was royalty lording over me. All the while, I was fixated on the doll. I wanted to rescue it, to take it upstairs with me. Finally, Betsy noticed me staring.
What are you looking at?
She asked me.
Nothing,
I said quickly. Too quickly. Betsy smiled and crossed the floor to the doll as a knot formed in my stomach.
Oh, this old thing,
she asked me, picking the doll up in delight.
My mom bought her for me, but she's not my favorite. Did you want to play with her?
Yes, I gasped, stretching out my hands, already imagining the weight of it in my arms. Betsy leaned forward, holding the doll out as if to hand it to me. Just as my fingers were about to close around it, Betsy's eyebrows came together, and she snatched it back. Her smile twisted as she smashed the doll's face into the fireplace grate with a sickening crack.